Welcome to Happy Hour. Finally back after the long weekend. Happy Wednesday, everybody. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
What's going on, everybody?
Glad to have you here. That was probably the longest time I've ever been away from this damn show. Feels like it, anyway.
It's a good time, though. Well, I mean, I couldn't post about it on Facebook because I was in Facebook jail.
What did you do now?
Apparently, I've shared a meme of a sleeping baby with a naughty drawing on his face with the caption, "Nobody falls asleep in my parties." And I got busted for it.
That's what set Facebook off, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I posted it back in 2018.
Wow, they're really on top of it, aren't they?
I mean, I get it, fine, whatever.
I don't get it. Like, how is, of all the things that, all of the bad jokes and things you could have possibly made over the years, how is that the one they decide?
That's the one that sent them over the edge.
That's the one that's worthy of getting the ban hammer.
I guess so.
I don't get that.
I don't either, but it is what it is. It was a nice little break.
Except you weren't still off of Facebook, I feel like.
No, in fact, it was kind of BS, man. I go over there and say, "Oh, I want to comment on this," and I can't. I could see everything, like all the chat rooms that I'm in, like with Dan and Mike and everybody, and they would post something, and I could see it, but I couldn't respond back. I was like a ghost. Is there anything I can rattle? I mean, is there something I can do to, like, I tried to change my profile picture to out of order or something like that. They're just like, "Sorry, bud."
Wow. I don't understand this website, this algorithm, anything about any of this at this point. Like, it's just gotten to a point where they've always kind of, like, I still get messages to this day telling me it's something we posted, or telling us that our videos for the show under the old name are in violation of some sort of, like, here's a copyright claim on your stuff. Like,
yeah, and then they click on it, and there's a picture of Luthy on there for the Armchair Athlete's days.
It's like, we haven't done this show in, like 4 or 5 years now. How am I still getting pinged for this crap? You're really going back and trying to undo, like, everything, huh? That's the new goal, huh?
I have a feeling it's like they have one division for the algorithm, one division for, you know, the naughty scouts, and they just don't gel well together.
No, I would assume not. Clearly, that seems to be the case. I don't get it, man.
I don't either. It is what it is. Jeez. But I'm back.
You mean you haven't missed anything?
No. I've learned my lesson, and I like to think I'm a better person. Now it's just it's just a way of being able to acclimate myself back into society.
You really weren't that acclimated to society in the first place, so I don't feel like that's ultimately going to be that much of an issue for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that would be the least of my worries, certainly, because, like, we all know you're never going to be able to function in the outside world.
No, not at all.
That just ain't going to happen. Much to do today. What is that exactly? We'll figure it out when we get there. It is Happy Hour, your local alternative solid state radio. It's been a long weekend. We missed a lot of things.
Yes.
Most of them, well, football related. Michigan and Michigan State are back. The Lions are about ready to be back. But what are we starting with? Hockey, because of course we are. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Hi, I'm John Butchagross.
No, you're not.
I'm Steve Levy.
No, you're not him either. You're barely Barry Melrose.
Oh. Somebody ate their bitch flakes this morning?
I mean, you're about halfway to the Barry Melrose mullet, I guess, but...
Yeah, I know. I need to get my hair cut before tomorrow. So, I start off frustrated with the Leon Draisaitl signing. I mean, get paid. He's a great player. Get paid. But, I mean, now you got him till the 2028 season.
The only thing I'm frustrated about is that he's not going to be a Red Wing.
Yeah. I don't think, Yzerman's not going to pay this amount.
No, because he's not out of his damn mind.
Yeah. $14 million annual value. I mean, that is just... He's now being paid more than Connor McJesus.
That's insane.
Who's making 12 and a half mil. Yeah, you'd kill that, would you?
Oh, you love it. You love every bit of it.
I get fired up when I hear it, but then let's get the game going, right? So, yeah. So, Connor McJesus is making 12 and a half mil this season and next season. And then he's a UFA. So, they're going to have to pay him a lot of money in 2026. And you know what else happens in 2026? The CBA, the current players' union contract, is going to expire.
So these contracts are going to be null and void anyway.
They're just signing them. They know they're not going to pay any of these. And so here's the Edmonton Oilers spending money like, you know, a sailor on payday. And they're going to be the first ones to be popping up saying, when it comes time for negotiations, we can't pay these enormous contracts. These contracts have gotten so huge. You signed them. You proposed them. Yes, there was a back and forth between Dreisaitl's agent and Edmonton Oilers, but I mean, you're paying the money, it's your budget, work within your budget. But they're not going to do that.
They're going to bowl Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah. You are now paying, you got two of the highest paid players, easy for me to say, in the league, and you know, is it going to equal Stanley Cups? I don't know. There's been a lot of teams who have had high-paid players that didn't win a Stanley Cup. So it's not a guarantee. I mean, this gets frustrating. I mean, not for Dreisaitl. I mean, he's a great player, and he's, you know, make as much money as you can, absolutely. But it's just the Edmonton Oilers, they are going to be crying foul when it comes to the next contract negotiations, saying that they can't work like this. That some of because this happened back in it's happened a couple times. I think I know it definitely happened in 2005 when they had that new contract. Remember that big lockout that we lost the entire season. And they're like, well, okay, yeah, these players have got to roll back their fees there, and it's frustrating right now as it stands. Before we even drop the puck on the Edmonton Oilers season, their current cap space is $945,000. I mean, that's razor thin.
Right. Like, how exactly are you expecting to field a halfway competitive team around these guys?
Yeah, exactly. Because who else you got? I mean, looking at who they have under contract, Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, but you're still, and Evander Kane, you're still paying them $5.13. Zach Hyman.
Yeah, who are you getting rid of to facilitate all this?
It looks probably after this year, you're probably saying bye-bye to Jeff Skinner. He's a UFA. Or you probably see him trade bait. Corey Perry, they're still paying him $1.15 mil this year. Connor Brown, Vasily Podkolzin, and Derek Ryan. Those are your forwards. Then on defense, I mean, you're still paying Darnell Nurse $9.25 mil. Matthias Ekholm, $6 mil.
Like, where are you getting, like, you don't have that much money in the cap. Like, are they just going to let McDavid walk? I don't get it. Like, it doesn't seem to make a great deal of financial sense here.
No, they're not going to make him walk. They'll send him on the ice by himself. Just a, because, I mean, you got to think that eventually they're going to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, Stuart Skinner's not that great of a goalie. I guess we need to find somebody else. We've got him signed for a measly 2.6 through 2026, and then he's a UFA. Who are you going to go with, Calvin Picard? Pickard? No, you're not going with him.
No, you're not.
So you're going to have to find a good goalie.
Skinner's already not good.
No, he's not. So you're going to get another goaltender. So you think you're going to be able to find a goaltender for 2.6 and then the whatever's left in your cap. Good luck, bud. I mean, you can't even blame this on Kenny Holland because he's long gone. They jettisoned him. So you can't make this whole Dreisaitl shoot for the stars kind of mentality. You can't blame that on Holland. It is a very Holland-esque move.
It is the most Ken Holland-esque move I can think of. Other than the, what was it, the Duncan Keith signing? that's the weird. Most Ken Holland signing I can think of.
Yeah, he looked through the list. He's like,
I recognize that name.
Yeah, let's go with that one.
Yeah, that guy.
Reminds me of Mr. Burns on The Simpsons putting together a baseball team. He's just naming all players who've been dead for 30 years. Fine, bring me current players, alive players in. So, yeah. But, I mean, I am impressed with the Edmonton Oilers and everybody over there that they kind of held off on announcing it, because apparently this ink had been to paper for quite a few, for a while there, but after the Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Gaudreau's death, they kind of like held off on that news. I thought that was a classy move.
Fair. Like, I was surprised that, it's one surprise it took this long to get something done, but I guess not considering the price that ended up being paid ultimately.
Yeah, it's going to hurt everybody because there's another situation. I can't remember the player for Carolina. He got signed same year. He's just as old and just as talented as Lucas Raymond. He's signed.
Oh, boy.
And now they keep saying that they're so far apart between
the Wings and Raymond?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And they're saying Moe Seider and the Wings are probably going to be done fairly soon. They're getting closer, but there's like no movement between Raymond and
the when Rutgers. Do I get to start panicking on the Raymond front?
Oh, we've already been panicking, Sean. You can just jump up on the wagon with us.
Okay, well, good to know.
I mean, we'll see what happens, but I mean, Stevie is not going to live outside of his means. He's not going to. He's not getting Draisaitl money.
Well, no one's getting Draisaitl money. Draisaitl arguably shouldn't have gotten Draisaitl money.
I mean, as it is, the Red Wings have 17.6 mil in cap space, but you know you still got to get these guys. I mean, you were able to get Joey Valeno on there. You're gonna get Moe Seider signed up.
Well, Joe Valeno's making what, $5 in a ham sandwich?
About 15, considering bonuses. Yeah, after that, I mean, you got to work on it. You got to work on Jonathan Berggren. He's got arbitration rights.
Got to figure out what you're going to do with him because you know, if he's going to be a guy who's going to be part of your future plans.
Well, if Raymond isn't, then Berggren is.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah. So, and how does that, I mean, I can't remember how that works. If they can't come up with a deal and if another team signs them, they got to give up at least a second round draft pick or something like that.
I believe. Well, don't they have the right to match any other offer?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they do.
And then there's, I think, some sort of compensation that would come their way.
Yeah.
If the Wings were seriously to lose Raymond in that way, that would be
frustrating.
That would be it. That you want us to talk about firing up the torches and pitchforks, man? That'll do it right there.
Bring out the catapult.
Want to know how to ruin a legacy in Detroit real quick? Let that happen.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to say, well, you know, he had a good season last year. But what about the previous seasons? It doesn't matter. You worry about what they did now. I mean, if a player come up and had a terrible season, went into contract negotiations, they'd be like, oh, no, but two seasons ago, he was great. What have you done for me lately?
There is that, but the problem is, and it's something that you've never really managed to fully resolve in these leagues, is that, you know, in your early years, when you're peak, you've got the least amount of miles on you, you're getting paid basically nothing to put up the numbers you are. So you're that first contract, you're expecting, you know, that to be a massive payday to here's what I've done for you guys.
Yes.
And got nothing for it.
You hear
GMs. We see it in baseball all the time.
Yeah, you see GMs talking to the press about contract negotiations. They say, we hate this time of year because basically we have to go to a player that we want, somebody that we have seen in the locker room. We have a close personal working relationship with this person. We have to go to their agent and say, oh, they're not as good as you think they are. Here's what they did wrong. And, yeah, that's got to be frustrating.
Oh, no doubt about it. But, I mean, that's just kind of part of the gig, man. You get, figuring out how to, you know, massage these egos in such a way and yet make all the money work under the cap. Because if you can't build a team around anybody, then you can't build a team around these guys, then what's the point of signing them to these massive deals? Hi, Toronto.
I'm wondering if, I mean, Moe Seider has come on and said, I want to be a Red Wing. I want to play.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that from Lucas Raymond's camp. Maybe he's thinking that maybe he wants to win now. I mean, he's 22 years old, so he shouldn't really be thinking of this. I got to think about my legacy. I got to think about my career and I'm going to win now. But maybe he's looking at maybe, boy, it'd be nice to play for a Vegas. Or I'm looking at Florida last year. Florida looks like a fun place to play. Boy, I'd like to maybe hold off and maybe get a Florida.
Oh, we're really going to start applying NBA rules to this. Like, players are just, nope, I'm holding out unless you trade me to the place I want to go. God, I hope that's not where we're seriously headed, man.
Yeah. Well, the NBA already started it.
That's one of those things that made me hate the NBA. It's like, well, I'm just going to refuse to play for this team that I signed a contract with because I want to go to Miami. Like,
yeah.
Go F yourself.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's possibly the thing I hate most about that. One of the things I hate most about that league, if I'm to be entirely honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for giving power to the players, but that's abusing. That's abusing power just a little bit.
A little bit, man. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. All right, so set this thing up for me, dude.
Okay, so online dating is one of the newest. Wait, not newest.
It's not new at all. Like
it's been around forever.
Been a thing since like the 90s, I'm pretty sure.
Ever since there's been the internet, any kind of innovation, it immediately goes to, can this help me get laid? And
always.
So there's an interesting thing. People are finding out just how difficult it is to date. Now, this one woman, she's trying to help her friend, Pete. And she creates a dating app on Hinge. And because he's saying online dating, regular dating, it's just hard. It's difficult. And she's like, I never had a problem with online dating. I've always had success.
I'm looking at her right now. I can't imagine why she's always had success.
Yeah, she's very pretty. And she says, let me set up a Hinge account for you. Let me run it. Let me find you somebody. It'll be that easy. And it comes with audio. You got to hear this.
Some of my guy friends gave me permission to make a Hinge account for him because I was telling him how easy dating is with dating apps. And he was telling me that it's incredibly difficult. And I was like, Pete, you must be doing something wrong. And he gave me permission to create an account for him and just run the account. I've been a virtual boy for 3 days. And I've never felt this bad about myself. I feel like a freaking loser trying to get these girls to like me. And I'm starting to hate women. Because I'm like, when I say I mean Pete. Because that's the account I'm using. Pete's about a 6. But I'm so desperate, I'm liking the 2s and the 3s. And even they won't like me back, Pete, which is a 6. So what level of delusion has entered women's heads? Like, what is going on? It is so difficult dating as a boy. I hate it. I'm on day 3 of being a boy, and I hate women, and I'm more depressed than ever.
I hate women. It is difficult out there. I mean, I know when I was doing online dating trying it for a little while, there was one site where it asks you for your salary, like how much you make. And I'm like, okay. I put in all my, everything was honest. I always want to start a relationship completely honest. So I put my, well, what I made a year, nothing. And I was like, well, I didn't change anything. I doubled what I made a year. All of a sudden, you know, nothing else changed. Pictures, everything else. All of a sudden, I start getting these likes. People checking.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, huh?
It's like people are only after you for what you can, for what money you and things you can provide for them.
But what she's finding out that when it comes to dating, the way it's always been, the ball is in the woman's court.
Absolutely.
I mean,
there's even whole apps where now, like, the woman has to make the first move on some of them.
Really? Just a ghost town for guys.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's...
You can see tumbleweeds rolling across some of those profiles,
yeah,
man.
Except for there's one guy that, you know, looks like Drake. Looks like he's got a really good job. And, oh, yeah, he's getting a lot of people. He's getting a lot of...
He's getting all the likes.
Yeah. He's getting all the messages. His inbox is bursting open. but, I mean, that's the way it's always been. It's always been a seller's market. So the women, like a lot of times, you know, back when I was, you know, single in my early 20s, you know, asking a girl to dance at a club. No, it's not just saying no. It's like they got a whole routine they've practiced in the mirror. No, you go ahead. I'm just here with my girlfriend. You get out of here and just be a jerk about it.
Like, okay.
Yeah, so fine. No, or it was like, not if you were the last guy in this club. And I just walk away, and they're like, hey, I was talking to you. it is rough. I feel bad for her because here she's now angry at her own gender.
That's pretty bad, but I mean, you're not wrong. Like, you have kind of the advantage there. Like, she'll wake up, if she were go back I'm on the dating site, she'd probably have like 100 messages within an hour of setting that thing up.
Oh, yeah.
Or a buddy, not so much.
And she says he's a six, so I mean,
he's got it. Well, we don't see the dude, so I don't know how, like, she's saying he's a six, but I don't know, what does she rate herself and compare, like, what's the scale here that we're establishing,
yeah, yeah.
And what is she defining as a two or a three? Like,
yeah, yeah. do you consider, like, Jason Momoa to be a six? I mean, what is a two? Like a... guy just, oh my God, the actor just ran right out of my head.
Poor Adam.
Steve Buscemi.
How do you do, fellow kids? if that's the scale, that's what she saw. I mean, that even still, you'd think you'd be able to, well, is it one of those things? Is it the money thing?
I don't know, because on Hinge, I don't know. It's been so long since
I don't think Hinge was a thing when you were last dating.
No, I just... just last one I signed up for was Grindr. A lot of friendly guys, but no women. I don't know because Plenty of Fish, I think, was the only one that really asked for your salary. I think,
and that's the one you were on.
Yeah,
I am rather fortunate. I never had to do the online dating thing, man.
Don't, man. It's a very shallow.
Well, I don't plan to now because I'm happily married and all.
Well, she's going to wisen up one of these days.
I keep saying that, but here we are 10 years later. She hasn't. So, I mean, realistically, she's probably decided that she's resigned herself to being stuck with me forever. Poor her, really. But
so we talked a little bit about Wes's wedding after the fact. So everything went good, eh?
We'll talk about it next.
All right.
Here is The Offspring at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Beach weather with Unlovable, which I realize is a terrible segue into what we're about to do next. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio.
I think our program director's asleep at the switch.
Shut up. God, when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. So you were starting to ask me in the last segment about wedding I officiated over the weekend.
Yeah, in Hell, Michigan.
Oh, yes. Hell was, it was a good time all the way around. We enjoyed it, except for the fact that it was like 95 degrees. So,
yeah.
If you've never been to Hell, there's really only three things in that town, and those are the ice cream shop, which also functions as like the local neon T-shirt store, post office, and the place where you buy your pay for your mini golf.
Okay.
And also houses the chapel.
Okay.
On their premises.
One stop shop, huh?
Yeah. There's also the bar next door, the Hell Saloon, and another building that I don't know what it was, but is apparently not a thing anymore. Oh. But that's basically the entire town.
Really?
We get there. I got there at like 2. The wedding was at 3. And for me, that's ridiculously early. As you know, I'm late to literally everything in my life, including a lot of days this radio show.
Yes.
So the fact that I was early for this... Like, we should all really be impressed here. Now, of course, I wasn't the first person there, as Rachel pointed out down by the river there, that Lapeer Main Street manager James Tiberius Alt was wandering around with his wife. Like, of course they beat everybody here.
Yeah.
The issue was the bride and groom weren't there. I still don't know what I'm doing. It's T-minus an hour to this thing. We've dragged our weekend comrade here, Skinner, along with us because his truck was about to fall apart at the time. So,
the mechanic's truck was falling apart. Okay.
How many mechanics have you hung out with, Adam? They all drive absolute pieces of junk. They're being held together by duct tape, zip ties, and chewing gum.
Yeah.
It's like every mechanic you know, their own truck is basically MacGyvered into being able to even function. I don't know why this is, but it's a thing. So, we get there. We find Jim and Laura, and we're like, okay, I don't know where Wes is. Let's go next door and get a drink because I need it because I need something to settle my nerves before I have to go and officiate a wedding, which
I'm not going to officiate this sober.
Well, of course not. I've never done this before, for one. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know how the whole thing's supposed to work. And I've done one of these. Like, or I've been married and I still don't know how any of this works.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing. You ask couples, like, okay, so what did the person officiating, what did they say? Half the time, you can never remember.
Right? Apparently, I didn't find out until it was too late that there was indeed video of mine, because I might have, you know, cribbed a few things from that. But we went over. We had a couple rounds of drinks. I bought a shot because it was by the officiant a shot day. The groom said so. Like, I wasn't about to correct him on it.
Right, right.
So, are you that? All right, it's 1:45. Let's wander over there and see if he's shown up yet. Nope.
Nope.
The chapel's still locked, like padlocked. Can't even get into this thing. By this time, there's about 20, 25 people waiting on the grounds for the actual bride and groom.
Just sweating their asses off.
Like, I, at one point, just messaged Wes, because I was so, like, I attempted to call at one point, and just ended up messaging, like, hey, what, are you all having a reenactment of the first night that you two went official?
Yeah.
Like, what are you... Are you reenacting the first night I met your soon-to-be wife, or, like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
And nothing. So finally, about, what was it, about 5 minutes to?
Yeah.
They come flying in. I don't even remember what the excuse Wes gave. Something, someone had to stop at a store for... something, I don't know, don't really care. Like, traffic was not great on 23, and I know because that's the way we took down.
Uh-huh.
But, like, come on. You're going to tell me you couldn't get there more than 5 minutes before the wedding? So we finally got things going. Jim went and sweet-talked the people who were running the store to make Wes honorary mayor of hell for the hour.
That sounds so Jim.
Well, I mean, when you're an important government official like he is, you can do things like that.
That's awesome.
That's our gym. So that happens. We finally get going, and it is about, like I said, 95 degrees. We open up the chapel. They say it holds 12. I don't believe that for a second. That thing holds maybe 8 people, like, semi-comfortably.
Yeah.
I think there was only, like, 6 chairs in there.
Wow.
And there's supposed to be, there's a little, like, the only cooling that thing down was there's a little fan in the corner of the thing.
To circulate some air. That's about it.
Basically, yeah. But here's the problem with that. It wasn't even doing that because there was no power to this building. And we are...
Did they know your guys were coming?
I assume so. We didn't just break into the place. I assume someone made some sort of arrangements beforehand. Because
yeah.
Wes was very specific, like, we only have this thing till 4 o'clock. So I would assume there were plans that were made in advance of this. They had to have known that we were showing up and just decided, they don't need power out there. So I ended up saying, you know what, screw this. Grab the little minister's podium or whatever and just carried it to, like, right, like, into the doorway of the chapel. We're doing this outside, I guess. It's at least dry enough that we'll be able to get away with it.
Yeah, because he had more people than he was expecting. Was it, like, ended up being, like, 40?
30 or 40 people, yeah. Like, wow. it was a pretty surprisingly large turnout. And we ended up cutting a lot out. In part because I forgot half the things I was going to say because I was, I'm pretty sure, undergoing heat stroke at that point in time. And Wes was also, I mean, it's Wes, so of course he was wearing the whole, like, his steampunk outfit, the big old top hat and the heavy ass coat and yeah. all the blackest black that ever blacked, and of course so was Courtney. So everyone was dying, so Wes still did a good 15-minute spiel to everybody. And he, thank God, he drove this bus because I was basically functionally useless during this ceremony.
15 minutes? Oh, geez. Everybody in the back is like, wrap it up.
Like, I was just like, by the time I got up there, like, let's just go ahead. And I'm just going to skip to the part where we make this thing officially legal in the eyes of the state. All right?
So,
So do you yada yada yada? Do you agree to put up with this jackass? Yeah. Are you sure?
Are you double sure?
Is that your final answer?
And she didn't run. I'm impressed. I for sure thought that Courtney would just like turn off and start realize she's wearing like Nikes and just start running.
You know?
Oh, there she goes. Wow, she can clear a hedge. Look at her go.
Fair. And I did give her a final like. All right. Does anyone else have anything to say? Like, are you sure about this, Courtney? Like, the car's still running. We can get out right now.
I was like, do I hear a helicopter? And then a ladder comes flying down. She grabs a ladder. Deuces. I'm out of here.
Right. Did that. Did the, you know, if anyone objects to this, shut the hell up. I didn't ask you. All right. You're married now or whatever. You can take him out to the car now and do what you got to do.
And there's a still shot of the just married sign on the back of the car as it's going up and down.
Right. Windows are all fogged up, and I'm pretty sure it had nothing to do with the heat that day.
I would hope they would put on the AC because, oh.
He is lucky I forgot half of the things I was going to say because I probably would have made more jokes about that night. But I was, you know, feeling charitable and also dead, so we didn't end up going over to the Hell Saloon after. And he's like, no, we're not doing a reception. We're just going to get right the hell out of there. And I'm like, no, we're going to the Hell Saloon, and we're getting drinks and dinner and such, as Wes did his, what he's saying is his last drink ever with us.
Really?
Yeah, he went and ordered a shot.
Oh, nice. I mean, nice, but kind of, he's been sober for quite a few years.
7 years.
7 years, yeah. Now he's off the wagon. Damn it.
He started drinking again. It's bad. No.
He's like he's trying to make up for lost time.
Right. He's like, the last drink what was my last drink? I didn't get to actually do with anybody, and it didn't feel right that my last drink wouldn't be, certainly with you in particular, Cantwell, so we're doing this. So we did.
And he spit it out. I was like, is that what it's been tasting like this whole time? Oh, God, what have I done to myself?
So we got done with that. We ended up wandering off to the speakeasy over in Howell.
Really?
And so there's a little place downtown there with what I thought was also an indoor mini golf thing. As it turns out, it was more like an indoor like driving range golf simulator. I'm like, okay, that sounds infinitely more lame now.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. But since Rach and I and Skinner had nothing else planned that evening, we're like, well, let's check out. There was a bar we'd wanted to hit up. So it's like this basement speakeasy. You can't get into it, but from like the back of the building, and they have a leather bound book that has all of their whiskey selections in it.
Oh, no kidding!
So like, you know, a Churchill's kind of thing, and but like I said, in a basement, which makes it 10 times cooler, like figuratively and literally. Had a couple rounds there. Went to the Torch to see our another fellow solid state friend of ours, Serenity. Joel from Flint Local 432 sends his regards, by the way.
You texted me that. That's great. I miss Joel. Everybody just runs into Joel. He's an honorary Flint mayor right there.
I'm pretty sure he actually is the mayor of Flint, but no one's had the heart to tell Sheldon Neely that yet. Like,
he's probably,
your powers are ceremonial at best. Joel's the guy who actually runs stuff, okay?
He can have the job. I'm out of here.
But no, good times all the way around. The couple is very happy. They, I love it. I love that for the two of them. Yep. Like, they're the perfect people for each other.
They
like,
really are.
It's crazy. I never thought, like, for all the women that Wes has dated over the years that I've been a party to, that someone that was that perfect for him would come along. Like, I couldn't be more ecstatic.
How did they meet again?
I guess they met through a mutual friend of theirs that hung out with them out in like Clio and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Went out doing karaoke and bowling and things of that nature. I'm not gonna get too far into that because there's kind of a story there that we're not gonna unleash on and open up bad, you know, times and whatnot. But
right.
It was kind of a, you know, friends of friends kind of thing, and then she decided, well, if you're not going to make a move, then I am. And she did. And, well, she married the man. So,
good deal.
Congrats, Wes and Courtney.
Woo.
No refunds. He's your problem now. There's Hosier at your local alternative solid state radio. So we did start getting into sports and things from the weekend. What we haven't gotten into yet is your Michigan Wolverines.
Hail to the...
They won 30-10 over Fresno State. No great challenge there.
No.
But already the hot takes are coming out about how this is a harbinger of things to come. And particularly, I believe it's USA Today is coming out and saying that Michigan is only going to win five or only going to lose five games this season. Former walk-on Davis Warren started at QB against Fresno State. The Wolverines won by 20, but the defending national champs bore little resemblance to their 2023 self.
Well, you think?
Michigan will lose to Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State. The other losses will come from two of these four games, versus USC, versus Minnesota, at Washington, or at Illinois. They really think there's a chance to lose to Illinois? Come on.
I don't know. I mean, it is a different team. I mean, different coach, different QB. Blake Corum's not there. I mean, you lost a lot.
You did absolutely lose a lot. And I do think you're not going to win more than eight games this season. But do I really think that they're going to be so bad that are they going to outright lose five? I don't know. I do agree that they're going to lose to Ohio State. Sorry. Hate to put that out there. They're probably going to lose to Oregon. I don't like Texas very much there. That could be a problem for you.
Yep.
And I can see one of USC. I feel like USC could be the other loss here. You're not losing to Minnesota, I don't think. You're not losing to Illinois, certainly. That team's been irrelevant in college football for, like, forever at this point. That's not happening. But I do think you've got a kind of a rough road ahead of you if you're expecting to win the conference again.
Yeah.
I got to say, I don't think Michigan's going to win the Big Ten this year.
No,
I'll put that out there.
It's a very small window that they had. They took advantage of it. They got the job done, but yeah, it's...
With a little bit of help.
Yeah.
From Where's Waldo on the sidelines at the Central Michigan game.
Yeah. I mean, there's that documentary on Netflix of Connor Stallions, and I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to actually sit down and watch it.
I do want to check that out, because... Everything about Connor Stallions is just absolutely insane. Like, up to and including the stuff that we talked about last week about how he's like, oh, he thought he had this job as a high school coach in Ferndale. Like, no, it turns out, no, you don't. That's interesting.
No, I'm nervous about them playing Michigan State, because Michigan State won their game. And they looked like they're a little bit more of a solid team than Michigan. Yeah, and Ohio State on November 30th, those are two. It's almost like you don't have to win the Big Ten. You don't even really have to have a winning record. You just got to beat those two teams to keep the rivalry going and to be able to, you know, save a little face.
I mean, yeah, essentially. Like, that's kind of the big thing there, I suppose. But I don't know. As far as... Do I think they're going to beat State? I'll be perfectly honest with you, as a State fan, yeah, you're winning that game. I have no faith in my team right now. I mean, they went and played, the Florida Atlantic College of Dentistry last week and yeah. Did not look all that impressive there. Like, I can't sit here and say in good conscience that I honestly believe that we're going to have a chance. State's going up against Maryland this week, and this is being talked about as a big test for them, which for no other like school that mattered Maryland's going to be a real test for this team. Like, it's effing Maryland. They haven't been relevant in damn near as long as Illinois has.
Right.
They shouldn't even be in this damn conference. But the fact that we only beat Florida Atlantic by 6 points last week really has me very concerned. And also, Aiden Childs, I'm not sold on this guy. Went 10 for 24 last week, 114 yards, no touchdowns, but got picked off twice. Thank God your rushing game was fairly solid. He at least rushed for a touchdown and 28 yards on the day on Friday. But, man, I am just not convinced that this is going to be anything better than like a 5-win season for State. And, well, I'm basically going to be done with college football halfway through the season. At least I have the Lions this year.
Yep, Lions, they start on Monday. We get to do the picks on Friday.
Yes, we do. That's right. We have another week where a segment's probably going to take up the entire show or something.
Like the past three Fridays, we just talk about favorite chip dip recipes, and it just goes all day long.
Right? Should probably just start with the picks on Friday just so we make sure it actually gets in, because otherwise it might not.
That would not be a bad idea. And I think we need to really post up on Facebook so the listeners can really get involved.
Can harass us when we get them wrong, ultimately. Yeah. I'm fine with that. We can do that. I'm a glutton for punishment in this regard. The fantasy football league that I'm in with our program director up in Sandusky is definitely proof of that. Got to draft that tonight, too.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be fun, and I'll probably be drunk by about 8 o'clock.
Yay.
Here's the Chili Peppers at Solid State Radio. I guess filling those pucks with nets ain't going to be happening in the NHL anytime soon for Philip Zadina, now, is it?
No, he's going to the Swiss League. 2 years for him.
The dude was just so ridiculously cocky.
Yeah.
Like all this, I'm gonna fill, like all the teams that didn't draft me, I'm going to fill their nets with pucks. And then he proceeded to, at no point, do any of that.
Yeah, he had a really rough time. The Wings picked him up. It was like that was a last pick with Kenny Holland, and I think they picked him up like 11th overall or something.
I believe
like
so.
Yeah, he's gone. Dominic Kubalik, he signed with another with a Swiss League team, HC Ambry-Priota.
Wait, what?
Yep. That just came out today.
That one I'm a little more confused by, I admit, because
I'm a little surprised too.
Last I knew, Kubalik wasn't terrible. I mean, last year was admittedly a bit of a down year for him. He had 11 goals and 4 assists with Ottawa.
He was playing for Ottawa.
Exactly. He was playing for Ottawa. You can't really blame that on him. He was also a minus 30 last year. But again, Ottawa. He had 20 goals for us the year before that. He's had 30 goals in his season with Chicago in one of his 3 seasons there. He's not a bad player. He's still functionally an NHL-caliber talent. I don't understand how some team didn't take a flyer on.
Well, this just means we have too much talent in there and some talent's being left out. We need to expand.
Oh, don't even start with that, because it sounds like that might legit be a thing.
Yeah.
And that might be something we get into maybe a little bit later in the week about the potential of further expansion, because there's been talks of expansion yet again, and even Bill Daly hasn't shut the hell up about it lately. So there is seriously a real chance that might be a thing that happens.
Yeah,
and it doesn't need to. Like, there's quite frankly, there are enough teams in this league as it is. Mm-hmm. And arguably too many, if Phoenix is any indication.
Yep, it is. But then, I mean, it's so many players like Dominic Kubalik, who, like you said, still has a lot of gas in the tank. He could play. Doesn't pick up with an NHL team. He's got to go to Switzerland.
And yet Jeff Petrie still has a job in the
NHL.
There is truly no justice in the world. There really, truly isn't. There's no other explanation for this that I am willing to accept. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hours. We get set to get out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon. Don't go anywhere, though, because a full hour of something or other.
Recipes. I have a whole new slew of casserole recipes to unleash on people. Turnips in a casserole? Wait till you hear what's going on.
That's the most Midwestern thing I could possibly imagine. I feel like we're the only people that do the casserole thing. And also, casserole, overrated.
Depends on what's in it.
Which usually happens to be whatever junk has been sitting in your fridge for almost too long.
Exactly. But, I mean, it does depend on what's in it. There's some casseroles that are pretty decent, but, yeah, it's a lot of times it's just like, let's throw something together, put it in the oven so I can walk away from it for a little while.
Like I said, Midwest at its peak, really.
It is topped with ranch, so I'm kidding.
You know, it probably is. Half the time it is, or there's way too much cheese in it or something. Like,
too much cheese? I'm not familiar with this phrase.
That's fair. But an hour of local original music. I can't even say the damn word, man. Sessions. That's what it is.
Yep. It's all coming up here. 6 o'clock and earlier on 97.7 WTGV due to the Tiger game.
Yep. 9:40 tonight. We can see if the Tigers manage to maintain their momentum such as it is. 4.5 games out of the wild card, man. I'm not counting on any kind of a resurgence here by any means, but don't think for a second I wouldn't love to see it happen. I know I'll be watching tonight, and I'll probably be half in the bag by the time first pitch hits. Sessions is next. Talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.